Om Shanti, good morning. Again, it's my pleasure to introduce you to another of our very special speakers. Sister Denise was the first Western sister to come into the knowledge. And this was way back in 1974. And she's had a pretty interesting life at the Burma Kumari since then. She was quite different in 1974. Her gear was a black leather outfit, and her preoccupation was to take apart and put back her motorbike in her lounge. So Sister Denise has always been interested in technical matters, technical details, and she has used the sense of inquiry all along the way. Soon after taking the knowledge in London, a few years later, she helped to set up the first centers in Canada. She also pioneered the use of commentaries. And many people would have heard her voice on the earlier commentaries and wondered, who was this person? So today you'll be hearing the voice, or rather seeing the face that goes with the voice. And Sister Denise is, of course, also very fluent in Hindi. You would have heard her translating for Dadi the other day. This is something she had to learn because in the early days, very few of the sisters spoke English, and so she just had to learn Hindi. In more recent times, Sister Denise has put down the knowledge in a very organized way in a series of books on spiritual development, and this has actually been the basis for a syllabus that you can now take a diploma in spiritual development with some of the Indian universities. Currently, Sister Denise is the director of all the Canadian centers, and she travels quite extensively. Sister Denise, coming from a Western background, I have found that her perspective, her understanding of Raja Yoga knowledge is quite different, and one is able to go into the depths of the knowledge. So I think you'll find today's session very interesting and enlightening. Sister Denise.
Om Shanti. So I'm going to be talking about silence. I don't know if you can talk about silence, or if we should just be quiet and not talk at all. But still, we need to understand about silence, and so some words are needed. It is interesting that Baba, the Supreme Being, who is the teacher of Raj Yoga, comes from the world of silence into sound to communicate with us those concepts by which we can go into stillness and silence. I have three English words that I use as the meaning of Shanti. You have been hearing the word Om Shanti a lot. And a glass pani de sakte. One meaning of Shanti is peace. And Shanti also means silence. And shanti also means stillness. So if we take these three words, silence, peace, and stillness, we get a wider perspective on what is meant by shanti. I think that today is going to be a silence day. So how does a person, a soul, who is in a body, in movement and sound, in space and time, how do you exist in that environment in silence? This is really the subject. So one thing is the physical sound, the sound of voice, the sound of, you know, an object hitting another object, the sound of traffic, the sound of nature. The sound of nature is quite attractive. You hear birds and insects and some animals calling, and it's actually quite harmonious. Or you hear the sound of rain. You don't hear the sound of snow. It comes quietly. But the machines of humans are pretty noisy and actually disharmonious. So we hear all this. And we talk a lot. You heard from Daddy. We talk a lot. We think a lot. So one part of silence is to say what you have to say once. It's enough. We usually repeat ourselves. That's extra. So there's quite a useful discipline for a person to do for themselves, that what I have to say, say one time. And that involves trust. Trust that who I'm talking to heard me and will act upon it. Maybe they won't act upon it. But I said what I had to say. If somebody didn't hear, they will say, please repeat. So that means less, thank you, less words. One problem we have is in our thinking. We think something, then we think it again, and again, and again, and again, and again, just to make sure that we really did think it. And so we have created for ourselves this activity of repetitive, this kind of repetitive strain injury to the soul. You know, some people, when they work on the computer too much, they get a carpal tunnel syndrome in their wrist, repetitive strain injury. Some of you may have experienced that. We do the same in here. Think so much, so repeatedly, that we actually damage the soul itself. So when we make a decision that, okay, I will become more silent as a person, I will be more still, I will be more peaceful, because what we learn here in this spiritual university is, first of all, the religion of a soul is peace. there are many religions of the body, but the religion of the soul, this word dharma is used in India, the dharma, the swadharma, the self-dharma or self-religion, is that I am a soul at peace. Present-day reality is I am a disturbed, peaceful soul. I am an agitated, peaceful soul. I am a worried, peaceful soul. So, that doesn't really fit. You can't be agitated and still at the same time. So what that means is that we go against our nature a lot. When we're worried, agitated, disturbed, it occurs because something from the world of sound and movement has gone into the soul itself through our sense perceptions, through our eyes, through our ears. And the mind is in the soul. So you see something disturbing, you hear something disturbing, it penetrates through your sense organs, goes in, and it disturbs inside. And it does that because we didn't realize that we have the option to not take it in. It's optional to take it in. But we're so used to not having any checking or any gate that we think that whatever is disturbing will disturb me. Whatever is worrying will worry me. Whatever is up and down will agitate me. We are used to that. But in this spiritual education, we are taught very practical things that in the natural environment of the day-to-day world, at any moment there can be something that could potentially disturb you, or distress you, or worry you, or in various ways move you away from your natural state of peace. At any moment this can happen. And at the same time, when you are more conscious of yourself as fundamentally a peaceful soul, you start to exercise your right and apply your option to decide that it may be disturbing, but it doesn't have to disturb me. One very useful sentence I learned from Daddy Jenki that I thought about for a great deal and always remember is this: it is happening, but it's not happening to me. This is true, right? Many things are happening. They're happening to me only if I take them in or take them on. You see? And so this is also an interpretation of detachment. It is happening out there. Fine. There is a drama going on and there are things happening in it. But they're not happening to me. That means that it may be disturbing out there, but it is quite possible for me to remain in my peace while observing a disturbing scene. However, it takes practice and it takes strength. Two things. So strength is something that you accumulate over time, and it arises as you practice something over a long period of time. In the same way when you, for example, go to the gym to do some exercises for any muscles, you have to do those exercises quite a bit over quite a long time before you actually experience this accumulation of muscular strength. In the same way, our spirit is a muscle. Sometimes the word moral muscle is used. So if we find that I don't want to be disturbed by a disturbing scene, but I am unable to not be disturbed, it means my muscle is too weak. And so I got disturbed because I couldn't apply the strength to say to that disturbing thing, you stay where you are, I'm over here, and you are not admitted into my soul. No admittance. You have seen that sign on certain doors, no admittance. You don't go, no entry. So in order to make that force, that inner force that says to an event or a circumstance, no admittance, we have to practice this silence. And so today we have a whole day, some hours of the day actually, in which to actually practice that. So when we practice silence, what do we actually do? You may say to me, well, how will I do this? So what we learn here is that there is a zone of the material world in which we operate in a pretty much materialistic consciousness. In that zone, we are absolutely open to all the sights and sounds that are there. And they come in and they sit inside and they operate inside. Now there's another zone, which is a different type of zone. It's a silent zone. And we need to learn how to operate a certain switch, like an internal switch, like you have a light switch on, off. With your finger you can just put it on and off. And you put the light switch on and off when you say to yourself, I'm going to turn the light on or I'm going to turn it off. And then your finger will follow your direction from your mind. Now, imagine that within yourself you also have a kind of switch, a very subtle switch, that you can press it and switch to the other zone, which is a zone of silence. I have seen some electrical switches which are on a timer. Have you ever seen those? You kind of have to turn a dial and it starts clicking away. They have them on toasters, they have them in public bathrooms and here and there. So you turn the thing, and then it tick, 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 turns off by itself. Now, this switch of consciousness is like that. With your thought, you say to yourself, okay, now I'm going to go into the silent zone. So you turn your attention within, and you make yourself go into that silent zone by thought. That is, you're switching on the switch. What happens? Tick, 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 it turns off. And you find yourself, after a few seconds, back in the normal zone of material life. As soon as you notice, oh, I'm in ordinary consciousness, switch on. Say, no, today I'm practicing. Switch on my switch. Go into the silent zone. I see. And the silent zone is a concentrated state. You think about being concentrated on your soul, on your being. And when you have a thought like, I am silent, peaceful, and still. All those three words. Om Shanti means I am silent, peaceful, and still. So you say these words inside yourself, to yourself, and tell yourself, okay, let me go there. Let me go to a place of silence. We also use the word remembrance. Suppose you have to remember your house where you live. If somebody says to you, okay, can you remember your house where you live? You say, yes, yes. And you have a little picture of it in your mind, that this is my house where I live. See? So that means the words take you somewhere. This is the method. Now, we are not going to remember any physical house or any physical person. Remember a person, remember your best friend, their face comes in front of you. Remember your mother's face comes in front of you. These are memories of physical people, physical places, physical things. And we use our mind to remember someone's phone number or what color of dress they were wearing or whatever. This is a faculty of the soul, the power to be able to remember something. And meditation, we're using this very same faculty of remembrance to remember ourselves as a soul. But we don't normally use our faculty of remembrance to remember non-physical things. That means we're not in the habit of it. That means it doesn't come that easy. So you have to start somewhere. So, well, what does a soul look like? It looks like a star in the sky. We've all seen stars in the sky, and when we see stars in the sky, we like it. I've never heard anybody say they don't like the stars. Everybody likes stars, and it's because they're beautiful. And also, that's exactly what a soul looks like, if you could see one, like a star in the sky at night. So that is what I look like a star. So if I want to remember myself, then I can have a picture of a star, and that will work. A star is also very small, so that helps me to be concentrated. Because meditation also develops power of concentration. When we are in the zone of the material world, it is a zone of being distracted, of the mind being pulled here, there, and everywhere. But when we go into that other zone, the zone of soul consciousness, we're concentrated, because there's nothing else there except me, I the soul. And so I go into that zone and see in my mind's eye a star. And I focus on that. That is what I look like. Now, this star is radiating feelings of peace. Right? So then you try to feel those feelings of peace that are coming from that star. Because the truth is, I am a peaceful soul. That is Om Shanti, I see. There's a practice of Om Shanti. To go out of the zone of the physical distracted world. Switch my switch. Go into the point of light. Feel the radiance of peace. And try to hold it for as long as possible. That means you're actually activating, developing your power of concentration. But you can't hold it long. Another thought will come in, and all of a sudden, you're remembering yesterday. And what happened to the soul, it kind of vanished. Because your switch switched off. From inside the soul, another thought came up into your screen of the mind, and it replaced your concentration on the soul. So then what to do? Switch on again. You see. There's nothing wrong with your switch switching off. It's normal. It's okay. You may not actually notice it for a few minutes. But then you may say to yourself, oh, I thought I was meditating, but I'm thinking about what we had for lunch yesterday. How did that happen? One interesting exercise is to backtrack. From the moment you notice, okay, I'm not soul conscious anymore, I lost it. When did I lose it? What thought made me lose it? So you can try to remember backwards what you were thinking before you noticed that you were thinking about lunch, you know, because our mind works to a large extent by association. You think of one thing, that makes you think of another thing, that makes you think of another thing, and some of those things are quite not very closely related to each other, and you jump from one thing to another. An example of this is if you're driving on the highway and you miss your turn. You must have experienced that. Why did you miss your turn? Oh, well, you were talking to somebody. Or you were thinking about something, or you were blowing your nose, or you were objecting to the behavior of some other vehicle on the road, and you missed your turn. It means even in the material world, we lose concentration. And once you missed your turn on the highway, usually you have to drive quite far before you can get another turn so that you can backtrack and come back to the turn of your intention. In the same way, you can use this method with your mind. Because thoughts run. You might have heard there was a little sound of music just now. Did you notice? Some little music going on. That was the 10:30 traffic control. I didn't stop, we didn't stop, because we're allowed to carry on in this class. But otherwise, normally, when the music comes on, we would stop. Traffic of the mind. That means our thoughts are like lots of cars going along. Sometimes we get a traffic jam. Sometimes we get just thousands of thoughts all rushing along at high speed. sometimes we get into a fog and everything crashes, you know. So it's very much like the traffic on the roads is the traffic in here. And what do we like? We like it when the roads are free, when I'm the only car on the road, is it? You don't have to deal with the others. In the same way, when we're in silence, it's like I am the only car on the road. There's nobody else in here except me. I, the soul, in my own peace, you know, then I can experience myself and enjoy being myself. From the ancient times, you will find in ancient Greek philosophy, Indian philosophy, Islamic philosophy, this statement is given, know yourself. They say you should know yourself. Or there is this question, who am I? And it is because we really don't know who we are, do we? Do you know who you are? It's very, very beautiful to know who you are and to have faith in who you are and what you are, because that makes you a very, very solid person. Now, when we are in the zone of material distraction and all the traffic of thoughts, it takes us away from who we are into who we are not. If you think about it, when your mind is distracted by something, it's always something that you are not. You're thinking about somebody else, some place, some time, some desire, something you haven't got, something you got that you don't want. It's never yourself. I see. So we live in the not self. We live in a state of consciousness of the other. And because of that, we lose contact with ourselves. We don't know who am I, what am I. We know what has happened to me. We know what hasn't happened to me that we wanted, or what happened that we didn't want. But we don't know who am I. So the Supreme Soul says, you know, I know that I am God. God knows God is God. God never thinks I am a human, or I am a stick, or I am a flower, or I am something else. God knows I am God, is it not? I mean, we imagine so, right? But I don't know who am I. I should know who am I. I want to know who am I. I want to feel what it's like to be me. Isn't? Somebody will say to you, okay, you are a peaceful soul. And you will say, well, that's a nice idea, but I don't believe it. Because I'm an unpeaceful soul. I might be a soul, but not a peaceful soul. You know? And now they say, no, God says, you are a peaceful soul. So then you say, okay, show me. Show me that I am a peaceful soul. Right? Because you want proof. Obviously, you have a right to demand proof of a statement like that. So he says, okay, go to the zone of soul consciousness and you will experience it. For that, turn the attention within. so that your mind is directed somewhere other than the sounds and sights of the worlds. So you go in. Go inside, there is a stillness inside. And from that inner place, that inner silence, you find yourself in that other zone. And sitting in that other zone, in that thought that I am a star, I'm a beautiful point of white light, radiating peace. I'm essentially peace, essentially pure. Keep the thought of that, keep focused in that thought, and being in that very detached place beyond the worldly world, you start to experience the stillness, the quietness that is the reality of me. And it's a very sweet state of being. You see, you may glimpse it for a moment and then your switch turns off. Even if you glimpse it for a second or two, you can remember it. It's gone into your memory. I saw it. I felt it. Once it's gone into your memory, you can recall that memory. You see? There's also a method. Recall that memory that, yeah, I felt it, so I can feel it again. I can remember it. Use those memories to take yourself more quickly into that zone of soul consciousness. And then add to that. Explore that zone inside here. Because in a day of silence, you have that chance. Sit with yourself anywhere. There's gardens here, there's rooftops where you can just be with yourself and try to feel it. It's a subtle state. Normally we're in gross consciousness. Materialist, material, worldly world is gross. This is subtle. It's quite intuitive. So when you're doing this kind of practice, you're calling on a part of yourself that is absolutely there, but one that you don't use very much, because the worldly world doesn't call for it. So again and again, press that switch. Go into that zone. Be the point. Experience a radiance of peace, which also has love. Tell yourself, I am fundamentally a being of love. I am fundamentally very beautiful. Another thought may come and say, that's not true. And then you have to say to that thought, go away. It is true. Get out of here. So one thing that we do need to be aware of is interference. The thoughts that are true are interfered with by thoughts that are not true. Because we live in a world where there is truth and untruth. I don't know if it's 50-50 or what. Well, you'll probably think it's 99% untrue and 1% true. Maybe. You decide for yourself. But even if it's 1% true, You have the right and you have the option to hold on to that one true thing. And with that true thing, you can see with your inner eye the other things that are untrue. And you can tell them, go away. You can say, the things that belong to the zone of soul consciousness are things of purity, love, peace, very positive things. And the things that belong to the zone of materialism, they may be all these things that are gross or things that are negative, things that are not me. I see. So you can learn to distinguish between these zones. And whenever you look at yourself and ask yourself, okay, what zone am I in right now? When you're practicing to be in the zone of soul consciousness, sometimes you can look at yourself and say, oh, I am soul conscious, I'm in that zone. Good. But very often when you look at yourself, you will say, oh, I am not. So when I'm not, then switch on. Switch into that zone and spend time there as much as you can. When you're practicing like this, you find that maybe initially you can stay for 2 seconds. That's actually quite long. 2 seconds. Yeah, that's a long time. If you're in a car accident, 2 seconds makes a lot of difference. And there are times when time stands still for you. It's only 2 seconds. But many things can happen in that. So 2 seconds of soul conscious contact is very good. And then expanded to 3 seconds, 4 seconds. If you can stay in that zone for 1 full minute, that's very good. You can build your stage, you see. And it's done incrementally, second by second, moment by moment. You accumulate moments of spiritual consciousness so that by the end of the day, you may have an hour of time in the zone of soul consciousness. That makes you very powerful. It fills you with a very special kind of energy. And you can hold it more and more easily. You can actually bring it with you into action. So that when you're talking, when you're looking at something, listening to people, observing people, you're still in that zone of soul consciousness. And this is what we call karma yoga. You're in yoga and you're doing karma. That's a very nice stage to be in. But we begin to develop that stage by practicing to be in silence. And so during the day today, give yourself this chance. And when you can hold this soul conscious experience for 1 second or 2 seconds, give yourself a good pat on the back. Because that's good. Sometimes people think, oh well, I only managed 1 or 2 seconds. And they feel bad that that wasn't very good. No, it's very good. And 1 or 2 seconds becomes 2 or 4 seconds. And you build it up slowly, slowly. Don't try too much too fast. Otherwise, you disappoint yourself. It's not done by, you know, days and hours. It's done second by second. You see? because a thought is very fast and you lose it very quickly. So developing this power of concentration has to be done patiently. Patience is needed because you keep slipping off. And then you can get frustrated. You can get irritated. That tell yourself, oh, I can't do it, and give up. But no. 1 second is very good. 2 seconds is better. 3 seconds is amazing. 4 seconds is fantastic. 5 seconds. You look in your watch. 5 seconds is quite long for you to be really connected in soul consciousness and just taking in that spiritual energy, spiritual light, spiritual strength. You feel yourself becoming different, you see. 5 seconds. Very good. Sometimes it's good to write down, oh, I had 5 seconds in that zone, and I felt the light. Now, let me try again, you know? See if I can make it again 5 seconds. 5 seconds quite long. And like that, make it more. Sometimes you say, okay, I want to try and feel the love. So you go in there with the intention to experience the love part of it. And then you say, okay, now I want to feel the purity part. What is purity? Nobody knows. What is that? Very, very bright light. Sometimes you say, okay, I want to know what is the feeling of spiritual power? Because inner power, this is inner peace and inner power, right? This is our retreat. I mean, I can experience peace. Then I want to experience the power. I feel the difference. This is peace. This is power. This is love. This is purity. This is happiness. Not happiness from some physical source, which is a very short-lived thing. A different kind of happiness. A very deep, good feeling of being back to myself, that the most wonderful thing is that I am me. And when you can feel that, when you can experience that, you feel very successful. Yes, I can go in that zone anytime I want. Of course there's interference. Sometimes the interference is so much that you find, I can't go in the zone. Whenever you find, oh, I can't go there, do something else for a while. Then come back to it. Again try. Because this is how you develop the skill. Again and again trying. Different aspects of it. Explore it a little bit and just see what you are discovering and allow yourself to discover for yourself what is there in that zone of soul consciousness and then see the contrast between the soul conscious state, the body conscious state so that you know it. And then when you want, you can go into that soul conscious zone because it's empowering. When you slip back into the zone of body consciousness, it actually starts to drain your energy. So generally we don't like to stay too much in that zone. Of course it happens all the time, but you just keep on pressing your switch. Whenever you notice that I'm not in the soul conscious zone, go again there. Press your switch. Go into it. Be there. Take the power and actually make yourself fill up. Because one thing we know about the state of the soul today is it's running on empty. When you see in your car the petrol gauge is lighting up, you're just thinking about one thing. Where is the next petrol station? You must have been in that condition sometimes. Can I make it to the next petrol station? But for us, it's one thought away. Okay, I got to get some petrol, spiritual petrol. Switch on, go there, and start to draw that spiritual energy into yourself. So that when you're operating in the material world, you have this spiritual source with you all the time, and you're using that energy, then you're not getting depleted, but you have to keep the level up. So you can practice some of these things during the day. So let's end with a few moments of silence and try to go over some of the things I have said so that you can use them during the day. Om Shanti. Press your switch. Become the star. Hold yourself in that zone. Be still. And know yourself as a beautiful soul. Feel the peace. Like a beautiful cloud all around you. A peaceful, loveful cloud. Feel the radiance of the light that radiates from you. It is so beautiful to be you. Feel yourself filling with strength. Light and love. And in that beautiful state, take a step down into the material world, but still as a soul, still conscious. Om Shanti. Arunavan is telling me that we have still a few minutes, and so do you have any questions? Yes, please, Taravan.
Sister, I always get confused. When Supreme Soul is a bright source, and I imagine this exists, so how do I really differentiate whether I'm really seeing the Supreme Soul or I'm just imagining, which will be void?
It is a very good question. There is imagination, fantasy, and dreams, visualization, many things. Now, our mind can be used to form an image of something that we understand. When we do that, we're doing something practical. If I am assuming that this is not a glass of water, but a glass of poison. Actually, it's a glass of water, but I will be thinking it's a glass of poison because I'm in imagination. I'm in assumption. That's untrue, you see. It can be verified. I can call all these people on the front row and ask them, is this water or is it poison? And they can verify for me. Now, all of us in this room are evaluating the things that are being said. How do I know that the soul is a star and that it sits here? If I do what I'm instructed to do, that is to say, I turn within, I consider that I am a soul, it will cause me to experience a state of being away from grossness every time, not just occasionally. If I do it correctly, I will get the same result every time. Is that not scientific? Now, I am a soul. God is a soul. All of us are souls. Each and every one of us is a small point of light. Unless you see the body, you cannot tell which soul is which. So we have bodies. Now, we have not discussed the details of the Supreme Soul. And in this class, I was only taking up body consciousness, soul consciousness. So I'm not looking at any other soul. I'm looking at me. First step. You see, this is what this class is on. I, the soul, discovering the zone of body consciousness where we normally are, and this other zone of soul consciousness where I have to go and first explore. First things first, then we get to second, third, fourth, progressively. Because the very most important thing, I think, that I must do is know myself. And know myself as a soul, which begins by considering myself as a soul. You see, if I would sell you, consider yourself to be a glass of water, it's not going to last very long, because you're not a glass of water. If I say to yourself, consider yourself to be an Eskimo, well, you can imagine an Eskimo, you might have seen a photo of an Eskimo, but you'll always know, I'm not an Eskimo. You know what you are, in terms of your bodily identity, right? Now, consider yourself a soul. Consider myself a soul. How do I do that? Well, think of yourself as a star. I'm not saying think of yourself as a glass of water. Think of yourself as a star. A star. Well, now I have heard that there is something called the spark of life. Right? So that means life is said to be a spark, which is a kind of star. I can go along with that. I know that I am alive. And life as a spark, possible. You have to consider it, you have to evaluate it and see, okay, well, if I think of myself as a star of consciousness, what happens? Can I go there? Yes, I can go there, you see. And every time I go there, I also go into peace. You see, I'm never going to become a glass of water. But this body, we all say, this is my body. I do not say, this is your body. No. I said, what are you talking about? This is my body. Reason. We use reasoning. This is my body. Okay, who is the possessor of my body? The question is, who am I? If this is my body, then it is not I. It's mine. So what is I? Must be something that is not the body. All I can see is the body. But I never say I body. Nobody says I body. The language doesn't work like that. We say my body. Sometimes we say, this person has left his body. We know what that means. They're dead. We say, he's gone. Okay, who is he and where is he gone? His body is right there. Why do we say he is gone? Who is he and where is he gone? We don't know, but we say. So that means we have in our consciousness some residual comprehension that there is something that is not visible, but it is tangible. While being invisible and intangible, it's can capture it, you can conceptualize it. No one's going to accept that you're really a glass of water. A lot of people, as they start to think about it and apply it in their thinking, in their reasoning, they are able to conclude that yes, it is rational, it is reasonable to understand, to accept that I am the owner of this body, an invisible, intangible being. I am consciousness. I have a body. Now I need to know more about that thing, and I also need to be able to experience it in order to have greater faith that yes, this is what I am. So it's an investigation, an exploration, it's a kind of archaeology going on. You see? And until you have found out yourself, you can't really go any further. So first things first. Yeah. Anybody have any other question? Yes.
Om Shanti. Morning, Om Shanti. Sister. I find very interesting on your example given the highway that was very easy and simple to relate to the experience of going into the silent zone. My question was actually the second step. After we go into the silent zone, when we try to do the connection, which is the example of looking for the petrol station. So when we reach the petrol station, how do we get the petrol? Do we fill it ourselves, or we are waiting people to fill it?
Yes.
Thank you.
Self-service definitely operating. As Sister Tara was saying, the soul and the supreme soul. Second. First, I, the soul. Then the second is, you see, the actual word yoga. Yoga is a connection between I, the soul, and God, the supreme soul. So, when I'm in that zone, and when I'm in that stage, you know, look around, because there is nothing else there except that light. Sometimes when I have done this, especially in the beginning stages of my practice, it was a sense of a presence. You see? Because souls are invisible, but you can feel the presence. You see? So once you go on to that dimension, you're on the same dimension as the Supreme Soul. That means you can sense the presence, and you can understand that this one is also light. Sometimes you can even perceive, but not necessarily. But you can sense a presence. When you sense the presence, it means there's me, and there's someone else as well. And that other one kind of makes himself known to you. It's very subtle. And when you notice that, when you perceive that, that's when the petrol starts flowing. You see. But we have to do this in baby steps, because we can. And the first thing is to get myself really stable in the soul consciousness, because if you can be soul conscious only for 5 seconds, you may need a little bit more time to get your petrol thing connected, you know? So once you can hold it for like, you know, like a minute or so, then you've got a lot of time to connect. And once you're connected, you can hold it very well. But first you have to stabilize in soul consciousness. You see what I mean? So this is why patience is very good. And for us to be willing to just go as far as soul consciousness to start with is actually very good, you see. And then once you feel stable and you start looking around and say, okay, now where is he? And you feel the presence and you connect, you know, because he has a lot of love for you. So as soon as the child comes near to the father will take hold, right? So don't worry, just say, okay, I'm here, he will pick you up, fill you full of petrol.
Good morning. Thank you for putting up things in a very chronological order. You know, you've understood, you've considered yourself to be a soul, that's quite understandable. The next part of it, when you try and consider, or you consider yourself to be a joyful soul, or a happy soul, but actually you may not be a peaceful soul. How do you put that?
Just slowly, slowly. Just consider it as a possibility. Explore it. And give yourself time. Give yourself as much time as you need, and you will discover. You will discover. Give yourself the time. Okay, so thank you very much, and have a wonderful silence day. Om Shanti.